This is the murder of America's most famous unknown child, the boy in the box.
On February 25, 1957, the body of an unidentified murder victim was found on the side of Susquehanna Road in Philadelphia. He was wrapped in a blanket and placed inside a cardboard box. When they found him, he was freshly groomed, had a haircut, clean fingernails, but he was covered in bruises and injuries. On his left ankle, groin, and chin, he had scars which seemed to be surgical, and he seemed to be malnourished. The boy was estimated to be around 4 to 6 years old. A man who was checking his nearby muskrat traps found the body, but didn't notify the police as he did not want them to confiscate these traps. Another passerby followed a rabbit under a bush to rescue it from any traps, and subsequently found the body. He also did not want to go to the police, but after hearing of a disappearance on the news, he reported the body to the police. This delay in finding the body made it harder for the police to estimate when the boy died.
Let's be honest, Chip. Two people have seen the body and not report it. Well, one definitely didn't because he didn't want his rat traps reported or like confiscated.
It's outrageous. Listen, I understand rat traps, maybe they're expensive, you know? So, but like, this is a child's body on the line here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just gonna leave that body there because these two rat traps I've just picked up from home base, oh no.
Yeah, can't afford losing them.
Yeah, no.
But this child's life, scrap that off. Yeah. I think there is something fishy going on here because there's no way.
Unless he was the one. Straight off the dome, a potential suspect.
And his alibi is that he was just checking his rat traps. Mm. And who doesn't report a dead child's body? Let's not forget, this body was freshly groomed.
I got a picture in my head, like, kind of like a doll vibe, like, they've dressed up, like, the body.
Is this a serial killer type of thing? Because, like, you know, if you're freshly grooming a body before killing it, it's usually not like your first time doing something,
right? It's like
a
specific MO that would belong to a guy who might have done this before.
Spooky anyways. Could you imagine finding a dead body and it's just like fully groomed? Yeah. That would be grim.
No, not for me.
The police finally found the body and started investigating on February 26, 1957. They took the body's fingerprints in the hopes of identifying him, but nothing came from it. The police then concluded the cause of death was blunt force trauma. The police went over the crime scene multiple times and there were over 270 recruits at the scene. They found a man's blue cap, a child's scarf, and a handkerchief which had the letter G in the corner. The cap was traced back to a small business in South Philadelphia. Hannah Robbins, the owner of the business, remembered the man who purchased the hat as it was a customized hat. She described the man as blonde and between the ages of 26 to 30. He was a cash buyer and never returned. The box itself contained a serial number which was traced to a store 50 miles away. This box had previously been used for shipping a cradle. When the police looked at the buyers, everyone had paid by cash, thus they had no record of who bought the cradle. But they did narrow down that the box was shipped to Upper Darby in Philadelphia. Police wanted to find out the identity of the boy and there was a lot of media attention on the case. The newspaper, Philadelphia Inquirer, had printed out 400,000 flyers, and these flyers were included with, quote, every gas bill in Philadelphia. The police had also taken and shared a photo of the boy in a fully seated position in order to try and find more clues or leads. However, although there was much effort put in trying to identify the boy, he still remains America's unknown child. In 2016, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children released a facial reconstruction of what he would have looked like and added the boy to their database.
This was probably the most interesting part, and it is all about why he's America's unknown child, is the fact that how can we not get an identity on this person? Now, we have to understand this is back in 1957, so the technology we have nowadays to identify someone is very different to what we had back then. But at the same time, I just don't know how you can go for so long not being able to identify. Look, they printed out 400,000 flyers. Someone knows something.
Someone must have seen, you know, it's a 4 to 6 year old. It's not like it's a baby. Like, you know,
this person's been around for a while.
You could recognize a 6 year old child. Babies, I get it. They all look the same.
I will agree with you on that, by the way.
It's hard to recognize.
Identify,
you know, babies get mixed up at hospitals. They all look the same.
Yeah.
But a five-year-old kid, you know, you should be able, someone should have spotted him, right?
Another thing that I want to talk about is the fact that there were over 200 people at, like, the crime scene where the body was found. Now, we've spoken about this before, and it's happened on lots of other cases, and one of the reasons why so many cases don't get solved is because they mess around with the crime scene. If you have over 200 people stepping around, touching stuff, looking around, you lose so much evidence.
I can't even picture that in my head, like...
217 people!
No, it's not a festival.
Yeah, that is it. A festival was trampling through to find something. It's just not needed. And I'm thinking, like, what were they doing back in 1957, man? Now we know the story, let's start thinking about some possible theories here.
Yes.
Theory one. The medical examiner, Remington Bristow, had spent thousands of dollars from his own bank account, and he spent a lot of his free time on this case. He even went to a psychic to see if she could provide any leads. When she did, she sent him to a foster home. The foster home was located about 1.5 miles away from where the body was found, and Remington found blankets hanging in the foster home which were similar to the one which the boy was wrapped in. Also in a 1961 garage sale, Remington saw a cradle similar to the one which could have been in the box where the boy was found. From looking into the foster home, Remington put forward the theory that the boy was the child of the stepdaughter of the man who was in charge of the foster home. If the boy was her child, she would have been an unwed mother, and the foster father may not have wanted that information to be released. On the other hand, Remington believed the death to have been the result of an accident rather than planned. With this theory in mind, the police searched for links with the foster house but came up empty-handed. Remington passed away in 1993. But in 1998, a group of retired policemen and some lieutenants interviewed the former foster father and closed the investigation. The former foster father, Arthur Nicoletti, was married to the stepdaughter, Anna Marie Nicoletti, the person who Remington theorized was the mother of the boy in the box.
This theory is just plain weird. Some incestuous stuff going on. So you're telling me the foster father was dating his own stepdaughter, and so the theory is that they've had this kid together.
Yeah, potentially.
But my question is, like you said, this kid isn't a baby. So if they wanted to get rid of the kid, then they would have got rid of it as a child, like between the ages of like 1 to 2, not even that long, to be honest. Why wait until they're older than that to then get rid of them? It just doesn't really make too much sense to me. But it has to be said, foster homes don't have a great track record. There are so many, just like horror stories, of kids that went to foster homes, you know, and just end up being exposed to sexual violence, abusive parents. Like, there's so many stories about it that when I saw this theory come up, I thought, you know what, the chances are probably pretty high that it had something to do with it. I mean, what was interesting was the fact that, so location-wise, it makes sense. It was only 1.5 miles away from where it all went down, right? And then the other thing was about the blanket. It was wrapped in a similar blanket to it. Now, I don't know, I feel like that is a bit of a reach just because a blanket is similar. I don't know. There's something about these sort of homes that, especially back in the day in 1957, where it's like, it wouldn't have surprised me at all.
Theory number two. In February 2002, a woman who was identified as Martha came forward and claimed her mother had bought the boy in the summer of 1954. Martha claimed her mother was abusive and described how she physically and sexually abused him for around 2.5 years. She described how once he threw up baked beans and was given a beating for it, and how he died whilst being given a bath, details which matched information which only the police knew of. Martha claimed she had to help dispose of the body, and whilst they were pulling the body from the car to dump it in the Fox Chase area, somebody drove by and asked if they needed any assistance. Eventually, the man drove off, and this also matched a testimony given by a witness in 1957. Although these leads seemed strong, the police could not verify her story, and Martha's neighbors never saw a small boy in her house. However, the investigators in this case were convinced with this story.
I like this theory. And the reason why I like this theory is because she was giving details that the police, only the police would have. Like, for example, the whole thing about the child being in the bath, that would explain the well-groomed part of it, right?
Yeah.
The body's clean.
Looking after the child in that sense, like keeping sure them clean. But on the other hand, beating the boy.
Yeah, it was like, you know, her mum was abusive. physically and sexually abused him for like 2.5 years. Now, there was sort of an unconfirmed thing, which is that Martha herself was actually mentally ill. So, and we don't know what extent that was. So like, would that affect her story? Is this real? We don't know because the police actually never got a chance to verify this either. So what do you think about this theory? What are your thoughts on it?
I think this is probably the best one. Because
you prefer this to the foster home theory?
Just because this one has information that the police only knew. And
could it have been a coincidence though?
I mean, maybe if the information was very like, you know, not specific.
Yeah, but it, you know, but it was.
Well, but it was specific details, and I feel like that should have been a red flag. Like, oh shit, she knows something, which we haven't revealed to the public. Is that not normally a sign that somebody knows something?
Yeah, I think, I just don't understand how the police say they couldn't verify her story, but I want to know why. Why not? I mean, we've got people saying, like the neighbours, Martha's neighbours, say they never saw a small boy in the house. So yeah, again, was this just something that Martha's concocted and it just happened to be a coincidence that she said some details that matched up?
Potentially, yeah. The neighbours, like a 4 to 6 year old, like the neighbours,
you would know.
Probably see a little boy
or hear
the house or hear of it. Or, you know, especially back in those days, everyone sat on the porch being nosy little.
Yeah. It's true, man.
Theory number three. Two writers thought they found a potential identity for the boy. They talked to a man from Philadelphia who claimed he had once rented his house to another man who sold his son. This led to a forensic pathologist to compare the potential family to the child to see if they looked similar, which could lead to DNA testing. The similarities in the facial structure led the police to test out the potential brother's DNA, but in 2017, it was confirmed that the DNA tested had no connection.
Let's be honest, this theory is pretty weak, to be honest. I mean, you know, if the DNA test came back and there was some sort of connection, I'd be a lot more interested in this, but for now, it's just one of those where it was a story, the police looked into it, and then nothing
potentially
afterwards.
Potentially, that's come to nothing in the end.
So those are the main theories there. I mean, for us, it's quite clear the two main ones were the foster home and also Martha. Chip, which one are you going to go for?
It's a tough one because the foster home one, like, gives, like, a reason for, like, them to want to get rid of the boy. However, you were right. Why would you get rid of the boy when he's that age and not straight away if you're trying to keep it a secret? But then the Martha one, the fact that she knew details only the police knew, that's just a red flag for me. So yeah. I think I'm going to go with Martha.
It's a coin toss for me. I mean, I think the main thing here is that I think there's a lot more that could have been done. I think them sort of contaminating the actual crime scene, that was a big miss. I mean, to me, I just don't understand how we can't identify a boy. Like you said, this is a grown child, if you will. It's not a baby. It's crazy to me that this person is unidentified and, mm-hmm. and there's really no one out there that knows where he's from.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of leaning towards the foster home one. But
yeah, potentially just kept him locked in a foster home for all them years. You know, yeah. It happens, like kids get locked in basements, that kind of stuff.
It's so true.
Maybe that was it.
We want to know, guys, what do you think? Which one of those theories do you think? And if you have any other sort of information you feel like you should add towards it, of course, the comment section is where this all goes down. But as always, we want to give you guys a little update on everything. The latest thing is that the boy was actually buried, but was later exhumed in order to extract some DNA from his teeth. So sadly, they had to dig up his body, get some more DNA. He was then reburied in Philadelphia, and there was loads of media coverage around this. As you can imagine, I mean, look, unidentified. Someone still knows something. Someone out there knows something. That's the craziest thing about this.
Yeah.
This baby has not come out of the ground. There are parents to this child. Someone out there knows something.
There is a
story. There is. It must be said that on this grave, it is written, America's unknown child.
Damn.
It's pretty dramatic, to be fair. Yeah. But there we go. That was today's mystery. As always, guys, if you'd like to leave a comment and Chip, tell them what to do.
Make sure you subscribe, turn on notifications, follow us on Spotify as well, because we'll be back next Monday, 6 p.m. with a brand new case.